Here we go!
Hey there, my name is Bubba.
My name's Anna.
And you are tuned in to Church Nerds, a back row morning show. And this show is made possible by listeners just like you and a strong partnership between Back Row Radio and Love Thy Nerd. Now, aside from being a founding member of the aforementioned Love Thy Nerd, a ministry that exists to love and serve our nerdy neighbors, I have almost 8 years of nerd culture missions and over a decade of professional Christian ministry on church staff. That just gets more impressive every time I say it. Hey, you know what? Fun little fact about me. Let's put the business aside and get the facts straight here, Jack. Okay. It would probably take me like half an hour to name all 50 United States or longer if I got there.
There's a song about it you could memorize.
I knew you were going to bring that up. I don't know that song. I watched Animaniacs when I was growing up, but I never learned the song.
I didn't learn it from that. I learned it from a children's ministry play.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
That was somehow about the United States.
Hashtag nationalism.
Yikes.
Hey, I also, I'm still not 100% completely sure what New England is.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they have a football team and they used to have Tom Brady. Rip. Sorry. Oh, he's Tampa Bay Buccaneer now.
What?
Yeah. Don't you like when you were today years old when you learned
gosh.
That?
Oh my gosh. Does that mean somebody else can win the Super Bowl? No,
it means Tampa Bay is going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah. No more chowed ahead Super Bowl. Sorry.
I mean, we were all ready for it. I don't know about Tampa Bay, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's something.
Okay. Anyway, I'm Anna. I am your wife. I
know. You looked me dead in the eyes when you said that. Yeah. I know. Those are two facts I knew already.
Well, to everyone else, we are married, the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
I am a nerd, mostly by association is what I like to say, except we all are kind of selectively nerdy about certain things, right?
You're getting nerdier the longer this thing goes on.
So I think farm simulators are probably my specific brand of nerd.
Yep.
I do like them.
I just perked up because on PlayStation Plus right now, the free game is Farm Simulator. Like legit.
It's just called Farm Simulator. That sounds lackluster. It needs to be cute. That's important to me.
It's not cute. It's very utilitarian.
Can you get married in it? This is what I need to know.
Who am I to judge?
Okay. Well, I enjoy deck builder type card games or like board games. My first celebrity crush was Orlando Bloom as Legolas the Elf. And so I felt like that at least earns me an honorable mention in the nerd world. And then in the church world, I've done pretty much everything from taking care of babies, infants, to like leading small groups for women's Bible study, you name it. I have probably been involved in it at some point or another.
How many other women in church ministry do you think have swooned over Orlando Bloom at some point in their life? Give me a percentage.
Oh, I don't know.
94%.
Don't you think that he's got a specific flavor? And let's be clear. I only swooned over him as Legolas the Elf. That bleach blonde, straightened hair with the blue contacts. I'm all about it.
Well,
his like pirate persona in Pirates of the Caribbean, or I guess he wasn't a pirate, but you know, sailor.
Well, I think he got there.
No, thank you. That mousy, weird facial hair, I'm out.
Hey.
No, thank you.
He did the best he could with what he had, okay? Thank you very much.
Anyway, that's pretty much all I have to say about myself.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, welcome to the show. Oh man, these intros get weirder and weirder every time we do it. Hey,
you
were saying in last week for our avid listeners, the tens of listeners that we have that are just
tens.
Every
perhaps one dozen.
Maybe a baker's dozen. They'll know that they didn't get to hear you last week.
They did not.
On the intro.
Yeah. It was all you.
That was not by design.
No.
And if it sounded like I was super tired, it's because I was.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it was the very, I hadn't even done anything that day before I woke up and was like, oops.
Uh-oh.
That file's not there. Let's record an intro.
Well, I mean, at least the rest of the podcast was fine. So
yes. Well,
you know,
it
no
was
harm,
there.
No foul. It means that we have content for this week, which is...
Hey, okay, so you mentioned just a second ago that
yes.
your favorite or like your niche of games is farming simulators.
Yeah.
There, we've been talking about it for a long time now. Animal Crossing.
I'm sorry, you guys. We're just going to keep talking about it.
Just buy the game and then you'll understand. We were actually talking earlier today. We had some friends of ours come by who we have talked about on the show before.
We have.
She was...
Give them another shout out.
Absolutely. Her name is Julian Jamar.
She's an author.
She is.
Has a book series out. So we have...
We've recommended it.
Recommendation.
The Nemario.
Yes. It's a fantasy fiction series. And then her husband is the guy who, I mean, multiple people have done this, but he is one of the guys who walked across the United States of America.
But he's probably the only guy that when he got to the end, built a canoe and then rowed himself
all
the way back to Tejas.
So, that's right.
So these are our friends and they came by. They were like, oh, hey, well, you talked about us on the podcast? A surefire way to get yourself talked about on this podcast is to pull up next to our house in a schoolie, which is a school bus that is being renovated.
Into a house.
Into an RV. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to live on it.
And you pick up our family and you take us to go get ice cream.
That is right.
I will talk about you
delicious.
Every single time.
Y'all, today I had... cheese ice cream.
And I had cheese and
blueberry? Cheese. Blackberry.
Blackberry.
You had those little chunks of cheese in there?
No, you had chunks?
Yes.
No, mine was just labeled cheese and blueberry.
Well.
Blackberry.
But, I mean, well, there were little chunks. It was like, I cannot remember what kind of cheese this is called, but kind of like the cheese that goes on Mexican street corn.
Yes.
Yeah, up there in the ice cream.
That makes sense.
Which I know sounds weird, people.
I'm here for
but it. But it was delicious.
In a waffle cone.
In a waffle cone.
What were we talking about?
On schoolie. We were talking about the schoolie, and we were talking about Animal Crossing.
Right. How did we get on the schoolie?
Well, you were saying something about how they, I think you were talking to them about Animal Crossing.
I was talking to them about Animal Crossing. Thank you. Wow. Sometimes
rabbit trail.
You just get
it
on
a tangent.
It was
a weird day.
Yeah. They just, anyway, it was really cool.
But fun.
So, but Anna, you love these kinds of games and you love them so much that you fall headfirst into them.
Some of them I do. Yeah. And Animal Crossing... I liked Pocket Camp when it came out on mobile.
Uh-huh.
And then you knew I would love this one. So what I've been doing, I really like to build systems and things. And the thing that I've gotten into lately is like flower hybrid breeding.
Yes.
And I
like
have
a mad scientist level.
A lot of flowers right now. I don't know if I'm doing it right. But I've got a bunch of them.
There are a lot of flowers on this island.
And I just got, hey, I see new colors. I saw two new colors today, so that's cool. But before I was doing that, I was also trying to catch some bugs.
That's really what we want to talk about.
I think that was what you wanted to talk about.
I will say, I think that you're fantastic at the flower stuff. You've got the greenest thumb that I have ever personally seen.
On Animal Crossing.
Well, I was going to say in a video game. I was going to give you a big swooping accomplishment there.
Yeah, I like to breed the expensive stuff and then sell it at a high profit.
Usually, I mean, with any other thing other than like plants, that's illegal. Like we mentioned, we watched Tiger King. It's illegal.
Yes.
But you are not so good at catching bugs. And there's actually video.
I think that's your opinion.
There's video evidence of it. It's the opinion of the world.
The world?
The
Is it
world.
Worldwide now?
Yes, it's on the
Wait,
internet.
Yeah,
it,
but...
It, It's not the local neighborhood.
I mean, it's
web.
Not on YouTube, at least. It's just on ye old Facebook, right?
I could put it on YouTube. That, hey, is, that would be the easiest
thing.
I bet
there's a bunch of those videos because lots of people. So here's what happened. I was trying to catch, I think it was a yellow butterfly.
It was either now, normally, a yellow or a white common.
For a very long time. Yeah, like bottom tier butterflies.
Yes.
Normally, at this point in time, because I was still very, very busy sewing masks all day long, I only could get on very late at night, only after dark. And so I was used to like catching moths in the lights of houses and stuff like that, but not chasing butterflies around and stuff. And there's this weird kind of perception change, to me at least, of like the daytime, the light. It's weird playing. And so I was trying to chase this butterfly, and I was trying to show you that I could do it. And I tried one or two or maybe probably up to seven times.
I should have gone back and counted. It was a lot.
And then eventually I just chucked the whole idea because it was not working.
You're skipping over a lot.
Am I?
Yeah. So you swiped at it.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't hit it.
No.
Swiped again. Couldn't hit it.
No.
Swiped three or four more times.
A bunch of times.
Couldn't
I
hit
said
it.
These. I said this.
And then I think like on the eighth hit or something like that, you actually, anybody who's seen Animal Crossing knows that the little town square has a bulletin board.
Yeah.
You hit the bulletin board.
I caught that thing.
Well, you hit the bulletin board, and then I think I heard the butterfly laugh. I'll have to go back
I
and
heard
check the
you
tape.
Laughing. So then, all of a sudden, after I do this, and you've been laughing, which I can handle.
I laughed after every swing.
Yes, you did. You have been laughing at me for 13 years.
Yeah.
Like, since we've been together, you have been laughing at me for one thing or another. And so you laughed and laughed. And then, after it was over, I did not realize that this thing is basically recording me the mm-hmm. entire time.
Yeah.
And you go back, you're like, no, I have to say that. It's so funny. And you clip like the 20 seconds or whatever that I'm trying to chase this butterfly around.
It was a long time.
And then you didn't just want to remember it forever and how adorably cute I am at poorly catching butterflies. You posted it on Facebook in the community.
What do you want me to do? Not post it?
Yes.
That's
that is
ridiculous.
What I wanted. And I felt like the sacredness of how bad I am at video games had been violated because that's personal.
I was 100% certain that I had abolished any idea that you would have of me keeping that a secret long ago. We used to play Mario Kart.
It was posted
on the regs.
Yes, and that thank
I still
goodness
have a video that,
you, that
pops up in my feed of you
of Rainbow
play.
Road.
Yes.
Is it Rainbow Road?
Yes.
Oh. Rainbow Road. That. Oh, I still get mad when I was bad at that. It took a lot of practice. A lot. This was before we had children.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I just could practice more, and I did. Eventually, I was good at it, but it took longer than it took me to figure out catching butterflies, which I did figure out. Thank you very much. And you didn't post that.
That's not
also,
funny.
Also, tarantulas. By that, not tarantulas, scorpion. Okay.
Well.
Okay. This is the second thing that happened, you guys. So I tend to overanalyze and like study how to, so I'm like, when Stardew Valley came out, I was all over that wiki figuring out how to do all the things. So I heard, I think you told me, that it was possible.
I did, yeah.
When you go to a mystery island, to turn it into Tarantula Island.
Absolutely.
Because tarantulas are some of the most valuable bugs in the game, and they can be sold, you know, you can pay off your whole home loan,
you
basically.
Really can, yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to do it. Well, I failed at it several times because I had some bad information. And so I did some more research. you have to have the right kind of island, and you have to do certain things to that island, and it has to be at a certain time of day. And so I had this thought, like, I've saved up all my Nook Miles. I'm going to buy just a bunch of tickets. Uh-huh. I'm going to make tons of tools, and I'm just going to, like, keep flying to islands until I find the perfect island, and I'm going to make that into a tarantula island. So I did it, and the first island I flew to was the right island. And I was like, no way. What? So I texted you, babe, Tarantula Island. And you were working or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I was busy. I was doing something else.
You did not respond to me. So I put in, now it takes a minute to turn this thing into Tarantula Island because you have to do a lot of clearing and prep work in order to, like, limit the spawning places of the bugs on the island,
yeah,
which is basically what you're doing. So I do. I clear everything. I do all of the things. Only it's not Tarantula Island.
Nope.
Because apparently tarantulas have gone out of season. It's Scorpion Island.
Scorpions are terrifying.
Scorpion Island. And not only that, scorpions do not respond the same as tarantulas. Tarantulas, like, they rear up and give you, like, you sneak up on them. Scorpions, if those things see you, they are fast. And
you're
just
as good as dead.
Bam, they just come and sting you. So that happened to me at least three times before I was like, oh my gosh, because for one thing, they completely creep me out just seeing them.
They're
just
huge.
Seeing them on this, they are enormous.
They're very big and very fast.
Yeah. So after the third failed attempt, or maybe the second failed attempt to catch the thing, I run and get you from the garage. And I'm like, I need you to be here for me right now. I need you to catch these bugs. So I show you what I've done, what I'm doing, which the tutorial thing that I watched, it said to dig like a cross shape type of thing,
uh-huh,
four holes in the ground that you could basically run to as your safe haven and jump over the hole and get in there, and that the scorpion would stay on the outside and couldn't get you. Well, that is false, because that,
yes,
thing stung me straight through those holes.
That might have worked for tarantulas.
Because
tarantulas,
yeah,
are dumb.
That's true. It might have. Also for someone better at catching bugs.
Scorpions, they went to college. They have a degree.
Aye, aye, aye. So you watched that one sting me through the thing.
I did.
And I was angry about this because I thought it was failsafe. So that was when I relinquished the controller to you and said, fix it, please. Please catch the scorpions. We caught 39 scorpions over the course of about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was
at least.
It was a long night.
It takes a long time. And I, yeah, made bank on those things.
Oh, yeah, because then there's like a traveling person that comes to your island. His name is Flick, and he buys insects and stuff.
For a higher rate.
At 1.5 times the normal rate, which scorpions are already at the top,
yeah,
of the pecking order.
And I, yeah.
You
I
did
paid,
well.
I paid my home edition.
You're welcome.
Off with, yes, thank you.
When you're doing this, though, because I know that you're all like, I'm going to go do this right now.
I need a scorpion island.
Do it.
Do okay? it.
There are some parameters you need to follow, right? So you have to fly. Use a Nook Mile ticket to fly.
Mystery Island.
Mystery Island between the hours of 7 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Yes.
Okay. And you're looking for a single level island.
Yes.
So
no
water features, no nothing like that.
No cliffs that you have to jump on top of, none of that.
Really what you're looking for is Bamboo Island.
You want a Bamboo Island.
So then you clear it.
Yes. You have to chop down every tree. You have to make sure you had fruit in your pocket so you can eliminate all of the rocks, because centipedes and stuff could be in rocks. And you have to, like, pick all of the flowers and move the stems onto the beach.
Yes, because the bugs
and pick all the weeds.
Bugs don't spawn on the stuff on the beach. So once you do that, what you're doing is you're forcing the spawn rate of the bugs, mm-hmm, on the island, because bugs are still going to spawn, but you're not going to have to keep going around and dealing with stump bugs and, mm-hmm, water bugs, mm-hmm, and all that stuff. So you literally just
run in circles around the island over and over again.
Until you force the spawn of a scorpion Or two.
Or tarantula.
Well, not anymore.
We only had two one time, and that was terrifying.
Oh, yeah. And be very, very, very careful, because I almost broke a controller. We were trying to catch one in town. You saw one on our island, and it showed up in this town square, and it was like terrorizing the villagers.
We were pros at I was a pro at watching you catch scorpions.
Yeah,
at
we
this
caught
point.
Like 30 some odd scorpions in a row. And so what ended up happening was I was like, all right, hey, I know the thing. I'm going to dig the holes and, you know, whatever. And
which has to be a full square of holes, everybody. Like
with one empty spot in the middle.
A 3x3 square with an empty spot in the middle.
And so I run towards the holes to jump over it.
Mm-hmm.
And your dumb little character is just like,
how dare you?
I'm just going to run right into this hole if that's fine. And then it didn't jump over the hole.
Yeah.
It just ran like it was like the uh-huh. like a glitch. Uh-huh. Like it was lagging, but it wasn't, because the game wants you to run at
directly,
a specific angle.
Yeah.
Which is 90 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Okay. At that hole.
Uh-huh.
Anything off? You are scorpion bait.
And you were.
Yeah. And I was
that
so
thing
mad.
Stung me.
I might have thrown a controller.
I don't think you did, but you were legit mad.
Yeah. I'm getting a little hot just thinking about it, actually.
Anyway, that is our bug keeping adventures.
There's a lot going on. I know that, like, if you don't have a Switch right now, I'm so sorry. They're almost impossible to get a hold of, unless you can find one refurbished or used or whatever. But if you can, I've said it 1,000 times, I'll say it again, Animal Crossing was like the perfect quarantine game. It allowed you to do all of the things that you couldn't really do in real life inside of a game. We'll see how it fares coming out of quarantine, but it was perfect. You didn't get a chance to play it until late, but, you know, here you are. Just living your best life now.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere, because Church Nerds will be right back at the top of the hour to talk about how to balance our faith and our fandoms right here on Back Row Radio. Welcome back to Church Nerds, and you know what time it is?
Tool time.
Oh, are you kidding me? Tool time? That was
I don't
actually
know.
Really good. I did peanut butter jelly time last time, and you ripped me a new one. And I'm going to let you have tool time, because I think it is tool time. No.
Is it?
No, it's not. You had me for a second.
Okay.
This is not the 1990s hit sitcom Home Improvement.
I almost said Family Guy, and that's definitely not the right.
I think
it was about a family man. But
it was.
The wrong one. He was a man. He was not
Tim
a guy.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
That's right.
But anyway, it is giveaway time, ladies and gents. And first of all, big ups. We want to say congratulations to Aaron Anderson, who won our previous giveaway.
Congratulations, Aaron. I hope you enjoy Egg Farmer. Super fun. I like it.
And Team 3. I sent both of them to him because the previous winner did not claim their prize. So
that did happen.
This is
Sad
how
face.
We live
and
our
I'm
lives.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
not sorry that I sent him two games.
Well,
look,
yeah,
my
I
wife
just,
said those games had to leave my
they
house
do,
one way or the
they
other.
They do, yes.
So I'm just, you know, complying with state law here, and we did it.
Moving on.
But, guys, we are finally into the Twitterverse.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, 2000,
but
whatever
we finally
called.
Have a Twitter handle.
We do. It is at Church Nerds LTM, because we couldn't get at Church Nerds.
Don't say it. We don't want to confuse people. At Church Nerds LTN,
yeah,
which stands for Love Thy Nerd.
It does.
In case anybody doesn't get it,
yeah, but you'll get it later. It'll come to you in the shower or something like that.
Okay.
So What you're going to need to do is retweet this episode on Twitter. And you're probably saying, Bubba, I don't have a Twitter. And I'm going to say, hey, 2000 whatever called, and also last week for us called, get a Twitter account. Just sign up. They're free.
You probably have one, but maybe you need to dust it off.
Yeah, absolutely. Like at Church Nerds needs to dust theirs off.
They do need to dust
relinquish
their,
it.
That is, please.
Please.
Please and thank you.
Again, we are at Church Nerds LTN on Twitter. But what I want you to do is we're going to pre-tweet.
Originally tweet.
OG tweet this episode on Twitter. And all you have to do is retweet with the hashtag Church Nerds Dibs. That's Church Nerds D-I-B-S.
Okay? Like my dibs.
My dibs.
Dibs.
And that's it. That's an easy way for us to be able to track it. So retweet it with the hashtag Church Nerds Dibs. And if you forget to put that on there, we're going to put it in the original tweet so that when you retweet it, we see it.
Okay.
We're going to do you a favor.
Well, and here's one other step. If we contact you and say, hey, we need an address from you so we can send you this game, you have to talk to us back.
You got to do that, yeah.
Or else we cannot send it to you.
Absolutely.
So
make sure to follow us, because you got to follow us so that we can DM you. That's the way that it works, okay?
Okay.
So that one's on you. It's not on us. But we want to send you a game that we actually really enjoy. I have an unopened.
Yeah, because we haven't talked about what you could win, which is?
It is an unopened, sealed inside the cellophane copy.
This is the good stuff. This is not our old cast-off game right here.
Which you tried to get me to do, and I went to the back and I got a sealed game.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, will you stop it with the suspense? Can we just get to it? It's sitting right here in front of us, and everybody's like, well, just tell what is it? It's Word Domination. Okay, by Fowers Games. This
spelling disaster.
Oh,
it
man.
Says on the box.
We like this game.
So in this game, you are you a supervillain or you're fighting the supervillains? I cannot remember.
Real quick, I want to make a quick aside. I misspoke. This is not by Fowers Games.
It isn't.
No, this is actually by Jeff Beck. Now, Jeff Beck goes on to create more games with Tim Fowers of Fowers Games.
Oh, okay.
But this
and the art
is a
style
standalone.
Looks very, very, very similar, like perhaps the same artist
oh,
worked
yeah.
on it.
Well, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Goldsberry. And
so,
anyway,
so
none
if
of that
you
matters
like
to
if
them.
You like word think. Games, if you like spelly types of games, if you play Wordscapes a lot.
This is basically Battle Scrabble.
Yeah. There's some aggressive elements to it, and like, you know, superpower kinds of things that you can do. It's just really, really fun, and
it's a great game.
It's a brain exercise. If you're the crossword, the word find,
yes,
you know, letter games types of people, which I am one of those people.
We have this game. We have owned mm-hmm. it for a long time, several years. We have owned this game, mm-hmm. and the reason I have a sealed copy is because I have 12 sealed copies. We use these games as giveaways at LTN Con and for other stuff that we do with Love Thy Nerd all the time, because these are just perfect. Any game that you get from Fowers Games is gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. for us to be able to give this
they
to you.
They are not junk games.
No,
they're
really
not. Good. They're good.
They're
ones.
Fantastic. And hopefully we'll be able to do more giveaways from Fowers Games. But right now we've got Word Domination by Jeff Beck. Basically, like we said, Scrabble, Battle Scrabble. It's really fun. It plays 2 to 4 players, and it's like 30 to 45 minutes once you kind of get into it, know what you're doing. And it says here on the box about 12 and up on the ages.
Yeah, I mean, you just need to, kind of like with Scrabble, you need to be able to know, you need a decent vocabulary base and have some problem-solving skills and know how to spell.
Yeah, I get whooped a lot in this
I
game.
I mean, some adults maybe can't play this game because they can't spell, and I will Scrabble challenge you.
Yeah, none taken.
Mm-hmm.
So do us a favor. Like I said, follow us on Twitter, at ChurchNerdsLTN, and then retweet this particular episode, episode 16 of Church Nerds, with that hashtag in there and tag somebody else in it. I mean, just like get the sharing going on. But all you need to do to enter is retweet with the hashtag ChurchNerdsDibs. Okay. All right. Hey, let's move on to really the meat of this thing, what we're here for. We're no longer talking about quarantine. I think that needs to be celebrated.
Woo!
Yeah. World's opening up. It's a whole new thing. We got a new normal that's going on, depending on what state
or
country.
We have seen multiple people this week.
We have.
We had dinner with some people.
We did.
We had ice cream with people.
Man.
Like, it's happening.
We're like
we
human
had
beings.
Children in our house that were not our
okay,
children.
Yeah, I was gonna, we always have children
There's
in our house.
It's been a busy week.
It has. But well, I mean, everybody's ready.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that. We're celebrating not
it,
being.
It is a celebration in that we are moving on topic-wise to something else.
And the topic today is something that is actually really legitimately near and dear to Anna and my heart and has been for a very long time.
I would say this is, I don't know if this is the basis of your whole going into ministry the way that you have, but it's the basis of, I think, of my connection with it.
This was the first time I like a drug you kicking and screaming.
You did
into
not
it.
Drag me kicking and screaming. So this concept, we called it, we did this study with our, when we were in youth ministry, we did it with our youth students at one point in time, and we called it spirituality in cinema. It carries far beyond just cinema, but watching movies was what our kids did.
At that point, let's just be real.
In
what was
Odessa,
happening.
Texas.
Yeah,
we were
in Odessa, Texas. We were doing youth ministry. We did youth ministry as youth pastor for 5.5 years. And in that span, Twilight came out.
Ugh,
man, when we had
and
all of them came
Insidious
out.
Insidious and like
yeah, all that stuff.
Bunch of stuff.
So what we did was, you know, Anna mentioned we did a series called Spirituality in Cinema. And literally, what we would do is we would have the students come up on a Sunday evening, and we would watch a movie.
Just watch a movie together.
Like we're not talking like the Ten Commandments.
We were not watching Silver Surfer. Or Soul Surfer?
Silver Surfer? I might have watched Silver
Whoops.
Surfer.
No, Soul Surfer.
Yeah, Soul Surfer.
To Save a Life.
There it is. That's the one.
You know,
Facing the Giants.
We were not watching Christian movies. We were just watching something, you know. We would tell parents, hey, this movie's rated.
To be fair, we did not watch Insidious. Like
we did not.
We
no.
brought.
If anybody thinks that that happened, that did not happen.
Anna brought that up, but we did not watch that movie as part of this study.
No.
But we did watch things. Mainly, we watched things that the students would be watching.
Right.
That we could get on DVD and bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we encouraged them to go and watch other stuff
kinda
that's
like
in the theaters.
Homeworky
and,
stuff.
Yeah.
So the idea is, are you thinking critically about the media that you're consuming? Because my family did this growing up. Just being able to look, to just watch a movie and then being able to see what spiritual elements are at play within that movie, within that story. And to just, it's not, you know, this is good or this is bad or it's just realizing what truth is. And then either being able to connect with somebody over it or being able to say, like, okay, this is just a movie. I am rejecting this certain, you know, idea. It's just going to stay right here in this movie because that is not that is not something I want to subscribe to because sometimes it's easy to just watch a thing and be like, oh, cool.
And we
and not
did
realize
this,
how it affects you.
We did this study as, and I was just thinking about this, we did it as a part of, I can't remember if it was at the tail end or in the middle or whatever, but we had did a, we had did, I told you, I'm not very good at these word games. we had been doing a study about like who is and isn't Jesus, what is and isn't Christianity. And so we were already starting to dissect
like,
these things.
What could have affected your belief that something was true or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Kind of what worldview are you putting on Christianity in and of itself?
Right.
And so as a part of that, we said, okay, hey, well, somebody legitimately mentioned New Moon. I think that's what set me off.
Ugh.
And so like we went and we did this and If any of this like sounds familiar about like searching for spiritual things inside of like movies or whatever that you're watching, you may be familiar with Hector Mirai, who you've heard possibly right here on Back Row mm-hmm. Radio. He does the Critical Hit short devotional, and he is actually Hector's a good friend of mine, and he is a host of one of our podcasts, the Pull List Podcast and the Love Thy Nerd Podcast Network. But more than that, like Hector has been doing, like leading the charge in Faith in Fandom, his organization, for years. Like I don't even know how to put a number on it. Just forever.
Years.
And he's written a ton of books. I think it's six or more books, depending on what you're looking at. And each one of those books like dissects a different aspect of faith and fandom. It is just what it says it is. And if you listen to anything that he does, any of the critical hits, he's just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's like he is diving into right. what it means to see the two side by side and not think negatively about that.
Because I think that what all of this is, basically, this concept is that we're not compartmentalizing
no.
our faith or Christianity or our nerd fandom. I think sometimes it's easy to think, well, I have church and I do this thing, but then I'm really going to like geek out over something on the side here, but the two don't really mingle.
Yeah.
And that actually, it just can't be true if your faith is genuine and it really penetrates to every portion of yes. your life, then your biblical worldview, it has to affect how you perceive things or what, you know, how you extract truth and are able to reflect it back to a community. That has to be happening, or else you need to be asking yourself some serious questions about, you know, how serious am I about following Jesus? And it is, it yep. can be difficult, I think, sometimes, because sometimes there are some, I think we've all probably binge watched something that we're like, that was probably a bad idea, you know?
Yeah.
But I think we pulled out some scriptures about why kind of a spiritual ground to stand on as far as, you know, is this yeah. a biblical concept or is it not a biblical concept? And like, are we allowed to just get lost in stories yeah. or, you know, not?
We think that the why is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, okay, well, justification for my binge in this comic book or this movie or whatever. Like, that's not what it is. The reason that Love Thy Nerd exists, the reason that Faith in Fandom exists, the reason that Christian nerds are starting to come out of the woodworks lately is because of an understanding. Whether it's these scriptures that people hold to or not, these are the ones that we hold to in our particular, you know, ministry that we're doing. And I specifically Love Thy Nerd, because I can't really speak for anybody else, but I can speak for the organization that I helped found. And these were some of the things that we were thinking about. So, Anna, why don't you go ahead and hit us with one of the scriptures?
Well, actually, it's nice of you to throw that to me, but I'm going to throw it right back at you. Because the first thing that I think it all starts kind of with Paul. This concept to me, many of these scriptures that we are going to bring up, I think all of them,
yeah.
I think all of
many,
them
many,
were
all
written
of them.
By Paul, because Paul was kind of the like genius at crossing cultural boundaries.
Yeah.
He
also didn't really care what anybody thought.
And yeah, but like bringing Jesus into a conversation from nothing or just from something random.
Yeah.
And so, you just couldn't get that guy to shut up about Jesus, really.
No, and like a lot of times when some people do that, you're like, hey, can you go do that in the other room? That'd be great, thanks. And I have to believe that people thought that about Paul, too.
Probably some of them.
But it was super effective, you know, at least as we read it in Scripture. So
yeah. It's
the first one, right? Like, okay, we're going to start this thing off. Acts chapter 17, specifically in verse 23.
I think this is the biggest one.
Yeah, if you're unfamiliar with the story of, you know, basically Paul's missionary journey, like the genesis of his journeys, they start in Acts. That's where everything kind of bleeds out from.
He kind of starts and ends in Acts.
That's a good point.
Sad face.
But what's happening here is, you know, he's in Athens and they're walking through, and the Jews, he's trying to reason with them, you know, because again, he's just talking to everybody about Jesus. And some of the most dangerous people that he talked to about Jesus were the Jews. These were the people that wanted to just come after him. But they're in Athens, and he's brought in front of the Areopagus, and they end up at a place called Mars Hill. And you may know that place as the name of several churches that have existed over time. But this was really like a gathering place where they all came together. And I won't bog you down with all of the history, but it is a fascinating story. Take time, if you haven't already, and just read through all of Acts.
Yeah. It's great.
We went through it as a life group.
Well, definitely. I think one thing to note, though, historically, is that these people were very smart.
Oh, yeah.
And they liked to think through a lot of different religious ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
That is literally all they did all day long, was sit around and, like, go back and forth about the merits of different, you know, bring it on. Anything, everything, all of it. I want to hear it. I want to do it. You know, so that's what Paul's coming into, is not one God or, you know, it's a whole conglomerate of things.
So again, don't think about even the stories of the Bible in a vacuum. Like, they're happening with a bunch of people around them and a lot of culture and a lot of action and a lot of things. And we're in Athens. All right. That is a place that has a lot of stuff going on. You can, you know, really dive into like Greco-Roman culture and all of the stuff and Pantheon and all that jazz. And you can really start to find.
This was not a Lifeway Bible bookstore,
nope.
Is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. Bethmore Estanoiki here. So real quick. So in verse 23, Paul says this. He says, you know, for when I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, he's talking to the people here at Athens, you know, at Mars Hill. He says, I also found an altar with this inscription. So there was a bunch of altars with all these different gods. And it says, the inscription here says, to an unknown God. And Paul, being who Paul is, says, therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. And the idea there is that Paul reaches down into a very, very tangible spot and says, that thing.
And pretty dark spot, too.
Oh,
this
yeah.
was not kosher. We're talking about an idol.
If that were to happen today, it would blow up. I mean, it would be all over.
Yeah, I guess it's not an idol, but an altar. This is like, let's cover our bases. But there could be an argument made that that's, you know, pagan.
Yes.
And he's going, and Paul's like, no, I think I can use this one.
Absolutely.
I think I can use this. And that's what we're going for when we're talking about, you know, viewing something or playing something or reading something or watching something, that you can, you know, you're realizing your worldview and all of that, but that you can also find the truth. And this is what we're going to talk about in the next segment,
yeah.
But how to reflect that back, which is what Paul is doing here and
Absolutely.
Saying, I see truth in what you're doing. I don't think you fully understand
yeah.
it, though.
Yeah.
And let me enlighten you.
Absolutely.
We also were looking at 1 Corinthians 9:22, where he says that he becomes all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some.
Very interesting
all
passage.
The things,
Very
all
interesting
the people,
passage.
So that he could maybe save some.
So good.
1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, and this is just coming off of the heels of meat sacrificed to idols.
Yeah.
And should we eat it or should we not eat it? Because there was a lot of contention. Like, it's sounds not like a okay.
Christian game show.
It is okay. And for some people, he was like, no, shut it down. If you know, if there's people who can't handle that, don't do it. But he was saying, in the end, you're going to have to make a decision on this controversial issue. So if we're talking about The Witcher or whatever it is, controversial, you got to make a decision whether you're going to partake in that or not. But whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. How can I watch The Witcher to the glory of God? Is it possible? And
we
have some pretty good arguments that it is possible.
And some great articles on our website, lovethatnerd.com. I know we're coming up on time here, but I just think it's very important that, like, that passage, the Bible is such a good book. It's so good. It goes on, you know, to talk about it's not what a man puts into his mouth that makes him unclean, but rather what comes out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it really starts to shift the balance why.
What are you taking in? What are you?
Yeah.
How is that?
Perception is not reality. Reality is reality.
Right. The last one was very similar. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So kind of just reaffirming that we are the same person all the time, no matter who we are. And so, you know, that just, it's going to affect how we view. It's going to affect how we disseminate the information from what we viewed.
Yeah, so. It's not really about what is the medium by which you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's, are you doing it? Luke 7 talks about out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's like, what is inside of you that is gonna come out when it's time for that thing to come out? Like that, are you ready? Are you prepared in and out of season to give a hope of, you know, the things that God has called you to in your life? Like, are you ready as a Christian here on this planet Earth to do the things all the time? Not just on the weekend when you're playing D&D with your nerd friends, okay? You're not just a nerd then. It's like, are you still a nerd and a Christian at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, those are the options that we want to present.
Right.
That the answer is yes. It can be yes. It should be yes. You shouldn't be ashamed of being a nerd. You shouldn't be ashamed of being a Christian. But we find ourselves in a weird point where you are having to choose one or the other. And, you know, it's we want to kind of help you get over that. So this segment here, this was the why.
Mm-hmm.
This was the what is it? What does it mean to do that? Next segment, you guys stick around with us, because when we come back here at the top of the hour, we are going to talk about how you can actually marry your faith and your fandom and allow them to become necessarily one thing and move forward in your life without any shame or guilt or anything like that. There are some caveats, but we want to kind of help you shape a worldview here that is Christian in nature. So stick with us, and we'll be back right here at the top of the hour on Back Row Radio.
We hope you're enjoying the podcast. Remember, if you only listen to our Back Row Morning shows here, then you're missing the amazing Christian rock, rap, pop, and indie music that plays all throughout the shows, as well as all day, every day. Join us for our full 3-hour morning shows live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Christian radio station for people who hate Christian radio, backrowradio.com. Or download the Live 365 app and favorite Back Row Radio. Now, back to the show.
Round two, fight.
Well, hey guys, we are back with more Church Nerds, and if you are just now tuning in to Back Row Radio or on the Live 365 app, Our last segment, we talked about how our Christian faith and spirituality impacts the way that we perceive our respective nerd fandoms and why it is so important that it does. And for this segment, we're going to talk about what it looks like on a particular, like, practical level, rather, for our faith to influence the way that we live and move within the nerd sphere.
I don't know if that's a word. I made it up.
Nerd sphere. Everybody knows what we're saying.
Well, so I think that the first thing that's really, really important as we're, you know, broaching this topic of, like, diving into a fandom or a story that you can get lost in and nerd out with people about is that we are never going to be able to recognize truth or lies within that if we do not know, like, truth, the big truth being God's truth.
Absolutely.
So that, I mean, that has to be priority number one. And it's going to sound, you know, like real cliche and stuff. But the only way to do that, the only way to know God is to use the tool that he gave us to get to know him, which is the Bible.
Yeah.
So read it. read it with people. Like, quiet time is great, and we should be doing that. Read it by yourself. Small group time is great, and we need to be doing that. Read it with other people.
Oh, yeah.
Even, you know, sermons. There are preachers and pastors have their jobs for a reason, because, you know, they have studied, most of them, the good ones.
Yeah.
The good ones have studied. And it's sometimes.
It's not like a Santa Claus situation where you push him off a roof and you put on his jacket and then you become Santa Claus.
I am the pastor now.
Normally. No. Yeah.
Anyway, sometimes they have different ways to say things or, you know, like a light bulb will you turn on for you. But it's making sure that you are not more engrossed in your fandom than you are in the kingdom of heaven, you know, God's truth. Because if those things are out of balance, now I'm not talking about a minute to minute, like for every minute of World of Warcraft that you've played, you had better have been reading your Bible for an equal amount of minutes. That is not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about.
I have tried that. It never ends the way on either side that you would
hope
it would.
But I think it's really, you know, God can do a lot with a few minutes that you will give him if you will actually give them to him. Because you can carry that truth forward into your day and you'll be amazed at how it impacts the way that you see your day and your world, because the living or the word of God is living and active.
Yes.
And so when you talk about people that are like, oh man, I just read about this in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like, newsflash, if you read pretty much anything at any point in the Bible, if you're actually in it, you're just going to see things in your life that are different because you were reading. So that's, I think, the big daddy important thing to remember as we start this conversation.
Yeah, you gotta be a scriptural, like, spiritual bloodhound. Like, you gotta know the scent before you can find the scent. So you're not gonna be able to see it in the world around you in anything unless you know what it is that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, okay, well, today I'm gonna find Jesus. Well, if you don't know what he looks like, you're gonna find something else that may be parading as Jesus, or
right, knowing the real thing so that you can spot the counterfeit, like, don't spend all your time trying to identify counterfeits. Make sure you know the real thing. Analogy.
Boom.
Jen Wilkin is a woman's Bible study writer, like a curriculum writer. So, men, I think there's something here for you.
Because
she has a lot of really good things to say. But one of the things that I love about doing her studies is that she talks about how the Bible is not a book about you. you know, and how do I fit into God's story? Mm-hmm. That's not what it's about. It's about God. And we are learning about God.
Yeah.
Like that is what we're learning about. So that once you know who he is, once you know his character, once you know like the Imago Dei, that we were created in his image and how that was broken and why that has messed everything up. What we like to call the biggest story.
Yeah.
You know, this is the big thread that goes through the whole thing. Once you know those things, then the other things can make sense. But like, you have to know those things first, or else it's really easy to be taken in by things that look true.
Oh yeah.
They seem true.
They will use a lot of the same terminology. Mm-hmm. They'll have the same words. They'll have the same mannerisms and all of that stuff. But Jesus in and of himself, the truth, it's so different than the things around you. It's countercultural. As you start to read through the Bible, you start to see that Jesus just operates in a different sphere than anything else.
Yep.
Then or now.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense a lot of the time.
You know, even in the church, sometimes we get certain things wrong because it's hard for us to hard for us to let go of flesh. But it's like, you know, turning everything on its head with humility, turning things like into it matters what your motives are, even if you're doing the right things. It is just wildly different. And this like laying down your rights, which is hard in America, and that, you know, we being a doormat is sometimes what's called for.
Matthew chapter 5. Like if you just camped on Matthew chapter 5, that would give you a really good understanding of who Jesus is, what he stands for, and what he calls us to be as Christians, which that wasn't the word back then, but you know, followers of this way, like people who aspire to be like Jesus, this is what they're like. And so when you take that, just that one chapter, Matthew 5, you can then
through 7 really. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you were just to camp in Matthew 5, like if that was all that you read in the entire Bible was just like the Beatitudes, right? Like then what you'd be able to do is then take that into the rest of your comic books and your video games and your movies and like everything else that you're experiencing, conversations with other people, your church, anything like that. And you'd be able to see, is Jesus driving these things? You know, so this is what we're talking about when we're talking about like using a biblical worldview to shape the way that not only you see, but the way that you interact with the things and the people that are around you.
So, you know, the more you dive into all of this, you'll see, like, it's easy for us to see as we're in a story, because most of these things that we're talking about are like story driven.
Right.
It's easy for us to see good and beautiful things and to be like, yes, I connect with that. I like that.
Yeah.
And almost always those good and beautiful things are somehow a reflection of God's nature. So we can make that connection. Like if this seems good and beautiful to you, it's because you recognize that this is actually something that's lining up with what we were made to be doing.
Right.
Conversely, when we see evil, when we see oppression, when we see abuse, when we see just, I don't know, all of those icky things, evil things, and there's this, you know, an icky feeling, and we go, blech, then we need to be able to recognize that is because something it has been broken, and make that deeper connection. You know, and that's one of the things that we do when we're talking about how to marry these things together. A lot of it is just the first step, I think, after studying truth is really thinking critically about what you're taking in the nerd world. and thinking, you know, just kind of picking it apart in your mind a little bit, like, seriously, mull over those things, find the truth in things, find the good things, find the things that you know are not true, and just, you know, just think through, just observe those things is step number one, and, you know, call a spade a spade. I don't know. That's a really good place to begin, because it gets you, it's not that we don't want to get lost in a story, because sometimes that's fun to just like, yes, sure. But we cannot, that cannot be all that we're doing.
No.
And we need to keep perspective and keep some intentionality in what we're doing, I think, in order for it to be congruent, like, you know, like what we were saying before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, specifically, we were talking about this before we started rolling, and, you know, what are some of the practical, like, hows that we can do? Like, what do you do? And the thing that I kept coming back to was in Romans chapter 1, specifically verse 20, it says, for the creation, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood, being understood through what has been made, for they are without excuse. And so I thought about that, and, you know, a lot of times when we're talking about that particular passage, we're talking about nature. Like, you can walk outside, you can see the trees, you can hear the birds, you can see the clouds moving and all that stuff, and you can just know, like, that God did this. Like, this is so, I can see it in everything around me that God exists and he did this. I would say do that in your comic books and your anime and the video games that you play and the board games that you play and the movies that you watch. All this media, go out of your way to see God. Like, we were, I don't remember if you were on this trip with us or not, but we went on a ski trip, and if I would just imagine if you've ever been on a ski trip on a youth group, they've told you, when you get to the top of the mountain, just take a moment, look around and take it all in, and just know that God did this. The creator of the universe took time to make this spot, and you get to see it. Like, that kind of a thing, right? Like, but if you take the same time just to look into the media that you are consuming and find God, like, see him in the things that you are watching and doing, I think that it will change the way that you view things for a while. Like, if you buy, you know, a red Volkswagen Beetle, okay, you start seeing red Volkswagen Beetles all over the place. Suddenly, everybody has the car that you have. So I think that that's going to happen for a while once you change your mindset, once you go into specific with intentionality, I am going to look for Jesus and, you know, Christian spiritual things, both for and against. I'm going to look for these things in the different mediums that I am consuming here. You're going to see that. It's going to be hard to turn it off for a while. And then it's just going to kind of become second nature, and you'll start to think about these things. And when you start having that mindset and it really starts to flow, head on over to lovethynerd.com and read a bunch of amazing articles and watch videos and all sorts of stuff where that's the mindset that we find ourselves in all the time. It really opens up who Jesus is, what it means to be a Christian, and what it means to maybe, you know, kind of crack open this nut of being in the world but not of the world. We're not walking around with blinders on, you know? We're seeing and experiencing these things that are around us, but we're just a little bit more informed than people who either refuse to see it or just flat out don't.
Yeah. I think that another important thing is, so this is a tricky balance thing. Don't generally speaking, I don't think it's a good idea to kind of dive into something alone. So it's important that you have, you know, Jesus didn't send the disciples into the world each on their own. He sent them kind of in pairs or in little groups because...
Buddy system.
Yeah. And so, you know, have someone along with you who is on that same journey, in that same fandom, like your favorite Christian Star Wars buddy or whoever it is.
Yeah.
And we obviously in the Love Thy Nerd community... We've got a bunch of those people.
There's a few,
and,
yeah.
You know, faith and fandom is that way. However, that's not the only place you can hang out.
No.
You do not have to spend all of your nerd time in the Love Thy Nerd community. You don't have to spend all of it in the Christian Gamers Guild.
Nope.
You don't have to spend all of it in the faith and fandom community. Because... We don't want to only have this. Well, if you want a Christian perspective, you've got to come to us for that. Because that's kind of where we find ourselves at church sometimes is, well, if you want to hear the truth about God, then you need to come to our service in our Sunday school, and then we will tell you. That's not effective.
No.
And it's coming back to bite us, you know, this generation. We want to be sent forth. We want to go out. So what we're doing is, you know, you're examining these things. You're finding your talking points. Again, you're in the Word. You're seeing truth and feeling like you need to talk about. Hopefully at this point, it's going to be like the fire in your bones kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like be collecting and ruminating on these things that are talking points, kind of, you know, parts of the story that are impactful to you and why, and talk about those things with people, because nerds are going to talk about that stuff with you. And it's not, I mean, like,
these
your
stories
Christianity
are designed
is allowed
to
impact the way that you, it's allowed to make you watch The Mandalorian differently.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. So, I think,
The creators of these shows and stuff, and I'm sorry I spoke over you, but you just kept going.
I did. Because I was going to lose that thought if I did not keep going.
I could tell. But these stories and these experiences are designed to be shared. Like that's the whole point that we even have a chance to see them, is because the creators of these stories wanted to share them with people. You could argue for capital gain or what have you, but regardless— they wanted to share them with you. And so it makes sense that if you experience something while watching or playing or reading or whatever, their story, the hope is that you would share it and talk about it with other people. So what we're recommending is that you find, first and foremost, if you are a Christian or you're somebody who is, you know, Christian adjacent, or you're just curious about what this whole Christian thing is, find somebody who knows what it is or what it's about. Now, we don't know everything.
That nerd fandom? Is that what you're saying?
No, this Jesus thing.
Oh,
like
okay.
Somebody who understands. Then go find a nerd on the street. Okay, you can find nerds everywhere. But find somebody who understands this Jesus thing. Maybe nobody knows everything about it. Nobody has all the answers. If they say they do, go find somebody else, because that's going to be – it's just not going to end well for anybody. But find – you know, I don't know if it's like a – we talked about a small group or whatever. You can come over to the Love Thy Nerd community. We've got a bunch of us there that would love to have these conversations with you and kind of walk with you through these things. But it's important that you do go through it with somebody who is also on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to take this faith journey with you and is not going to constantly be trying to drag you off of the path, because that's not encouraging. Nobody in any walk of life wants or needs that to be happening to them. That as you're trying to explore something, this person that's supposed to be going along the path with you is constantly trying to drag you in a different direction. So I would say find a church. Find a church that is maybe like nerd friendly, or, you know, someplace where you can have these conversations.
And we realize that may not be the first church you go to. I mean,
I'm going to say this. If you need help finding that church, contact us. I don't live in your area, but I do know what to look for.
Yeah.
I can do some research for you. So hit us up at ChurchNerdsLTN on Twitter. Follow us and send us a DM if you don't want it to be public. That's fine too. But we definitely want to help you. You do not need to go this alone. We talked about Paul earlier. Talk about him a lot more in future episodes, I'm sure. He never, almost to a fault, like never went out alone unless he just absolutely had to, or his buddy was taken in a different direction or something like that. But if given the choice, he knew that it was the right thing to do to take somebody else with him.
I think the other thing that I kind of want to end on is just listening. It's really important. It's easy for people to talk about the things they love, the stories that they love. So if I would say once you are to a place where you do know truth, you have accountability in place. You're grounded now. If you're a person who's already grounded like that, but you just haven't been able to start the conversation, I think, like, just listen.
Yeah.
Listen to people. Listen and try to get underneath some of what people identify with or what they really love about something beyond just what actor played whoever.
Yeah.
But, you know, storyline level things that it's like, why does that bother you? What did you love about that thing? And, you know, just see where that conversation goes and let your worldview, again, kind of just don't hide that.
No.
You're allowed to talk about that.
We run into that all the time with Love Thy Nerd. And when we're at conventions or just hanging out and talking with people or whatever, and it's as soon as you possibly can, like, get it out there. Hey, we're here to love and serve our nerdy neighbors. And, you know, we do this because Jesus loves you and we love you too. Like, it just, you get it out there, you let it stick, and then people can go wherever they want with it. But, I mean, it's, you know, the approved workman is not ashamed kind of
That's
a deal,
right.
You know.
If you would like to talk to us, I'm interested to hear about different stories or universes or, you know, what kind of spiritual connections have you made that maybe were surprising to you? As you have been just, you know, doing your nerd thing and then seen something and been like, oh, whoa, that was deep.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that right now.
Sometimes it'll sneak up on you.
We would love to hear about some of those things and how you kind of sorted through them in your own journey here.
Yeah. So hit us up on Twitter at ChurchNerdsLTN. Just tweet us and we'll see what goes down from there. Well, guys, we are going to take our last break of the show. And when we come back, we have our nerdy recommendation. You'll never guess what it is, right here on Backroom Radio.
Tiger uppercut.
Well, your nerdy recommendation for this show is Faith and Fandom.
Surprise!
Beep, 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 beep,
this is probably the first time you're hearing about this. Just
Our
kidding.
Buddy Hector Mirai has done a fantastic job of compiling little devotionals or essays or deep dive, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter.
Is it like your daily bread? Those little daily bread devotionals that were available in all those, like, quarterly curriculum spinner thingies at
It's
church?
Actually exactly like that.
Excellent.
Except cool. And
except not like that
I wanna
at
read
all.
It. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So what he's done is he's compiled all these things. And you're going to have a chance to either Google it if you're listening and you want to click on links or whatever. But Faith and Fandom is what you want to search for. And it's available in physical form on Amazon or in digital form through Amazon Kindle. So still like in that family. I have all of these. These are fantastic. I've honestly, I've been talking with Hector for years now about, hey, man, how do we host small groups that are based around faith and fandom, like your books that you've written? He has one book that's faith and fandom specifically for kids. That's Faith and Fandom Junior. And so I love this. I think it's fantastic. I believe in it. And we want you to become a part of this as well. So do us a favor, click the link in the show notes or head on over to Faith and Fandom just by a simple Google search. And you are going to love it. If you're nerdy or if somebody in your life is nerdy and is a Christian, or like we said in the previous segment, is even curious about Christianity, these stories, these devotionals can help bridge that gap for those people. And really, it helps you do the very thing that we've been talking about this entire episode, which is to think critically and spiritually about the media that you engage with.
Be sure to check us out online at lovethynerd.com for some cool articles on all the nerdy things.
Some articles.
Articles, yes. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't like that.
Get out. I just did that.
You rejected all of my tweet ideas, and so I'm rejecting your article idea right now.
This one was good.
It's payback. Anyway, if you go to lovethynerd.com, you can see our articles, our podcasts, not just this one, but we've got a few more going on, and some videos. You can also find a link there to support us if that is something you would like to do, because Love Thy Nerd is a qualifying 501c3 nonprofit organization, so your gifts are tax deductible. Also, designate us as your charity of choice on Amazon Smile.
Smile.amazon.com.
Yep. What else? Well, you know,
so
we're
many
here
things
on Back Row Radio.
Yep.
And, you know, we're on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on, I can't think of, I don't know what people are doing with their social media. Vine's not a thing anymore.
You're trying to say TikTok.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't TikTok, y'all. Confession. This is real talk, everyone.
Not TikTok, real talk.
I don't know when the last time I actually used my Twitter was.
Tomorrow.
I don't tweet. I don't, because I ditched Twitter because of the 140 character cap way back in the day.
Ooh,
I just cannot do that. I have a lot of words that take more than 140 characters, so I couldn't do it.
Oh, no, I get it. Yeah, I live with you. I understand. Yeah, sometimes you just got to get your words out.
Yep.
Well, hey, we church nerds are not on Facebook. We are on Twitter at Church Nerds LTN.
That's true. I'm sorry. I was talking about Love Thy Nerd. So
there you go.
Love Thy Nerd is on Facebook. Church Nerds. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, all you.
You can follow
nerds.
You can follow Love Thy Nerd proper on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Love Thy Nerd on all three of those platforms. And I think you're gonna like it. If you like this at all, you're gonna really like Love Thy Nerd.
If you don't, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, don't at me, bro.
We have fragile egos.
That's not completely inaccurate. Oh, man. Well, that's going to do it for today on Church Nerds. Once again, I'm Bubba Stalka.
I'm Anna. Woo, jumped in too early.
All over my stuff there. Hey, we'll catch you next week on another episode of Church Nerds. And as always, if no one else tells you this today, I promise it's true that Jesus loves you, nerd.